You are listening to Agency Work, the podcast that provides career advice for people who want to work at a creative agency. I am your host, Parker Playstead. Today, I am talking with Cabell Harris from Work Labs. Cabell is the owner and creative director at Work Labs, which is a creative branding agency located here in Richmond, Virginia. Cabell has also been a professor at the VCU Brand Center, which is part of Virginia Commonwealth University. Cabell, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Sure. So let's start off the podcast with a discussion about the VCU Brand Center. And to give our audience a little background, I will read a description of the Brand Center so that I get it right. Students at the VCU Brand Center earn a master's degree with a focus on one of five tracks: art direction, brand management, copywriting, experience design, or strategy. The mission of the VCU Brand Center is to develop the best creative problem solvers in the world of brands. So, Cabell, what was your focus at the Brand Center? Give us a little insight on what you were teaching the students.
I'd be happy to. This is the first year I haven't been associated with the Brand Center in 15 years. So I was first brought on many years ago by Rick Boyko, which I've done a lot of work for in the past, and used to be co-president up in at Ogilvy, New York. And I was going through a transition with my business and unmerging it and then merging it back. And during that year, he asked me to teach at the Brand Center with the art direction track.
Right.
I thought I was going to only do it for 1 year, and then it ended up being another year, and 14 years later.
You're still at it.
I had said when I was doing it that I was running a business, and that was my first priority.
Right.
So through the years that I was teaching, I taught for 10 years. Then I've helped out with some marketing and branding for the Brand Center.
Right.
And even before that, I was a board member of the Brand Center. So I'm pretty well-versed in the history of the Brand Center.
Right.
And it's a great program, and it's grown, and I think, you know, its best years are ahead of them right now.
Right.
They have a new director of the school, and that's exciting. But when I was there, I was really wherever they asked me to go, I would go. And I'm pretty well versed in all the tracks and the disciplines of them. So I was able to teach art direction, then portfolio development, creative concepting. And then I had all the tracks under brand campaigns. And that's a lot of fun to me because that's, you know, where the strategy students are really working with the creatives. And just overall, I must say, I think the best creative individuals or people understand strategy. And I think the best strategists understand creative.
Good.
So when you have them working together and they start appreciating each other's abilities, it's pretty exciting.
It is. So you've got this framework that I really like that you use to walk through the campaign development process. Can you get into that in a little more detail and tell us more?
Sure. One of the first things that I think that I've learned a long time ago, and it really hasn't changed, and I try to instill that in the students. And I think if they get that figured out the first semester, then they're in pretty good shape.
Right.
And it's something that they can use the rest of their life. But a lot of people, when you talk about branding, a lot of people don't even know what it is and understand it.
Right.
And it's more than just, you know, it's not ads. It's everything. But when you're really working on individual projects, people think you have to read volumes of books to understand it, or you have to go to school for 4 or 2 years to
right.
get it. And it's not brain surgery.
Right.
It's just practicing some very simple disciplines and thinking. But and as we move forward, as things are changing, tools change, points of view really stays the same, or my point of view stays the same on how you solve these things.
Right.
But styles change. But when you have a point of view, and this is my point of view on process, it's five things mainly. And you don't start in just doing creative.
Right.
That's a losing battle. You'll just be – it's like playing with smoke. You can't ever pin it down. So what I recommend, and I think other people recommend this too, is you start with your audience. Who are you talking to?
Right.
And that's fun too. I look at this whole process as a game, and that's what makes it not very boring because every day you're going, okay, I could be somebody else. And you have to put yourself in the shoes of the audience. So who are you talking to? That's the target. Then you have to figure out what do you want to say to them? And that's the strategy.
Right.
And usually when you're figuring out the strategy, you know, the one big question within there is, why is it important that they exist? And, you know, a lot of people will say what a client does, but when you look around, you go, well, doesn't their competition do that too? So you have to keep digging deeper and deeper. So the strategy is a tough one to get to.
Right.
But when you get that strategy pinned down, half the job is done. And it's really helpful that you don't move on to the creative until the client agrees with that strategy.
Right, yeah.
So then you start working on the third part is how do you say it? And that's the creative. And that's, you don't know where you're going to end up. There's not a formula for that. It's just, it's, you're looking at all different options. You're putting things up on the walls. There's some different processes you can do to, you know, get out of writer's block or get you started. But that's where you figure out on number three is how do you say it? Then number four is where do you say it? What's the medium?
Right.
Where is it going to live? Is it radio? Is it print? Is it in a store? You know, is it a certain environment? And then the last part is, was it effective? And if you don't figure out that or think about it, how are you going to know if what you're doing is even working? For example, you might go, do you want to bring somebody, do you want them to take them to a website? Is that the purpose of it? Do you want them to give you a call? Do you want them to run to the store? Or is it an awareness issue?
Right.
So before, you know, you really close the door on printing something or taking something to press, you want to go, was there a call to action here?
Right.
Or if it was about being awareness, how are we going to know if people were aware of? Do you do some pre-testing and research before, and then you do some aftermarket testing? But that's the process.
Right.
And if you get those five things down and you keep practicing that over and over, you're going to get better and better every time you do it.
I agree. Absolutely. In my experience working in marketing, you're right on target with this framework, that this is exactly the process that I've gone through over and over and over again in my marketing roles. And it's very well laid out as a process, what you've done here, and you've explained it very clearly and very well. So I hope people pay attention to this segment because it is so important, and it is such a concise explanation of the job of doing the marketing and developing the campaigns and all the things you have to think about, the work that has to go into it. It's just a really nice, clear, at least to me, very clear framework to guide people in the problem-solving process that's part of marketing and branding and advertising and so on. So this is great. And so I imagine the students have reacted well to this framework and have embraced it in what they're doing at the Brand Center.
They have. I think it's something sometimes it's like a racehorse wanting to, you know, get out and start running right away. So creatives telling them to hold off on the creative and start thinking about strategy. But you have to realize strategy is creative too.
Sure.
And that's fun. For an example, what I think is a fun thing to do, and anybody could do this, anybody listening, is look at when you're watching TV at night or if you're looking at a print ad, almost do the reverse here. Almost ask yourself, who were they talking to in this ad?
Right.
What were they trying to tell me? Oh, I can see how they told me. And I know what medium it was in. Do I think it was effective? And so one of the early assignments a lot of times you give students is, here's an ad, make it better.
Right, yeah.
And so you see but it's amazing to me how many bad things are out there. I mean, 95% of the advertising that you see really isn't very strong, and I don't think it is very effective. A lot of it's just hitting you over the head over and over, and they have big media buys.
Right.
But what we try to teach the students at the Brand Center is very rarely you're going to be able to outspend the competition. So we train our students to outthink the competition.
Right. That's, yes, exactly. Outthink them and differentiate, be different, come up with something that's different and better and really put some effort into that thinking. One of your taglines for your company is, we're always thinking, and that ideas are – you can say it better than me. What is that tagline around ideas?
Well, it's I don't use – I use it for my personal signage, but always thinking. I'm a little ADD, and I have my journal beside the bed, and I'm coming up with stuff all the time. And part of my company, we do new product development and try to bring new things to the market. And so I'm always – my mind's just racing.
Okay. Let's transition a little bit into the work that your agency does. And I have to acknowledge a certain irony here that the name of this podcast is Agency Work, and the name of your agency is Work. So
my lawyer is going to be in touch with you right after this segment.
So this podcast is the only connection we have, but a little funny irony there. But I, you know, obviously I like the name of your agency. So let's get into the style. When I look at your portfolio, in my limited vocabulary of being a portfolio review person, it looks very bold to me. Some of it very clean, some of it complex, I guess. There's more to it than casual observers might pick up. And if you spend a little bit more time looking at it, you pick up more from it. So what I'd like to hear is, how do other people describe your work? When people, you know, look at your work, your clients, your customers, judges, you've submitted your work for competitions. What other words do people use to describe what they see in your work?
Well, I wish they would say, that's the best stuff I've ever seen in my life. But I would think it's a quick to get. And I've learned that because people are usually not flipping on their TVs or going to the store or flipping through a magazine to see advertising or I want to go to the store and just look at packaging.
Right.
So you have to make sure your stuff communicates quickly or it pulls you in. It doesn't mean it's complete right then, but does it get your attention? Does the headline pull you in where you want to read the copy? You know, does the visual end up go, man, I want to spend some time with this? Does it make you want to tear the ad out, which you've never done before?
Right.
And go, I want to keep this. I want to show it with somebody.
Right.
So I think hopefully they would say, oh, I got it quickly. It was disruptive. I think disruptive would be one of the words. I think there's a level of cleverness. Some things are witty. I'm always looking at it through the client that we're working for, what their personality should be.
Right.
We have a lot of stuff for our own brand. And that has a different personality. But I really try to look at it through the client's eyes, or not the client's eyes, the client's audience's eyes, and go, how should that personality be for that client?
Okay.
And then some work is emotional, if that's the type of product or service. I think there's a high level of craft that we put to it.
Right.
One thing we didn't talk about, I've just gone through right now currently, we're still doing work labs, but I'm transitioning to work in friends. And what I really, my goal is to make the work even better. And I love doing collaborations. I do them to a certain level. I want to do more of them.
Right.
So I want to take things as far as I can. And then I want to go ahead and hand it off to people that I think might even make it even better. So we might design an ad now and go, you know what, this certain typographer would be great on it.
Sure.
Why not go ahead and get them to do it? Let's have some, I've had great resources and great writers, but I'd like to have more of them and use the ones I have even more.
Right.
And to me, that's the work will evolve to even get have. I like it when I can look at something and go, oh, I never would have thought of that if somebody did take it better. And I've had some of those projects where I have been able to hand it off. I'm working on something right now. We're doing a store window. And I have someone doing a window display.
Okay.
And we're going to do some PR on it. I don't want to announce it all right now. But it's just her abilities just blow me away. But it's like a true creative person. You can't stop them. If you're giving them something that they're enjoying and they want to do, they have a hunger for it, you don't really have to guide them too hard. And when we were doing Work and Friends, I wrote down at the beginning of the year, almost my 10-year mission
right.
was a simple statement was, I want to create work that I love with people I like at a place I want to be. And whether that is where we're building something bigger or whether I'm on the beach by myself working on something.
Okay.
But that's it. I just want to do work that I want to work on passion projects.
Right. Yes. So. Well, that's good. And you've been successful enough at this, clearly successful enough at this over the years to have that freedom at this point in your career.
Well, yeah, I don't want to make it sound so easy. It's been a lot of
hard work to get where you are, yeah.
I don't think people realize anybody I know in this industry that has a reputation or that is really good, I can guarantee you they would take all the work that they've ever produced and they would throw it in a trash can to get all the work that got killed produced.
Okay.
Because the percentage
right.
of what you really do and come up with, it's so small that really gets to the finish line.
Right. Yeah, that is the unfortunate part, right. What people see is the what got to the finish line. They don't see all the effort that went into things that never made it to the finish line. That's right. Well, let's talk about getting there and as the students are looking for some advice on the next step, right? They're in school, they're taking the classes, but apprenticeships and internships give them new opportunities to learn. And we had a great conversation earlier this week about continuing to learn throughout your career and take chances on internships. You know, we talked about what do you look for in an internship, and you had some good advice. So I'd like you to kind of repeat some of our conversation and your advice to students about internships.
Well, I try to put myself in the shoes of the students because I've been there and my memory's not so bad. But I go back to when I was in school and I took everything that my professor said as gospel. And then I went to the library and I found these awards annuals. And nobody had ever shown me these things, never heard about them before. I think one was Communication Arts and Design, Advertising Annual and Design Annual. Then there was the Art Director's Annual. And a whole new world opened up to me. And you don't see very much good work out there. So then I saw all this in one book. And I went back and I started asking to see some of the teachers' work. And I was really unimpressed with it. And I said, man, why have I been listening to these people so much?
Right.
So a lot of it has to be self-taught. So I think the important thing for all students to realize, they have to be their toughest judge. And I make a comparison a lot to when I think about musicians. And I don't have any musical ability at all, but I think about somebody who's into music. They start collecting albums and their playlist. And then they pick up an instrument and they start practicing and they start trying to copy and do that same thing. Then they put their own little twist on it.
Right.
And I think that's probably with anything is you start going, what do you like? Not what does somebody tell you to like, but what do you really like? So it's a little bit of discovery first is become aware of what's out there.
Right.
And then what are you drawn to? And then you start trying to duplicate it. In a way. Then you start trying to make it yours, or how do you do spins on it? And then it's practice. So anything for any students, you're not going to get there the shortcut. Often I'm asked, would you rather have somebody with talent or a hard worker? In my experience, hard work has always beat talent.
Okay.
And I've seen some students come in that have had experience and they're top of their class the first semester. Some other people have come in. They have a hunger. They don't have any ability. You go, how did they get in? And then all of a sudden you see them, you know, doing these jumps.
Right,
they get getting better and better and better, and they stay at it. And I've seen that professionally also. So I think that's really, exciting. I think for interns also, they're going to go out and they're going to get, jobs, and some of them are going to be good and some of them are going to be bad. I think they all end up being a lesson.
Right.
You know, you don't come out of school and you start practicing right away. You start learning the language and getting there, and every agency works a little bit better. You could be at the best agency in the world and there's a ton of bad work being done there. You can be at one of the worst agencies in the world. I bet you'll find talent in there, but maybe the people don't know how to get it out of them. So even these internships, some people come back and go, that's the best experience of my life. Some of them come back and go, I never want to work in a place like that. Well, right. That's great experience too.
Right, yeah.
So
good to know. I mean, right, you're going to learn something one way or another. You're going to learn something from every one of these opportunities.
And so when I talk to students that are going into the job market, I think they really have to do their research, and they really have to not just feel like somebody's interviewing them, but they have to feel like they're interviewing the company they're going to also.
Sure.
And ask smart questions. Who would I be working under? Who's in the team? What's the client? Is the client just maintaining the work that a campaign, or is it fresh stuff that's going on? So just kind of be aware, and because you can, you know, especially large agencies will have different groups, and there's good groups and there are bad groups.
Right.
And if you're in there, you might be able to guide and go, you know what? I'd really prefer working with this group over here, and I would love working under this this creative director. Is there any way we can make that happen?
Right.
So you have to kind of like guide your career a little bit. And it is, you know, it's going, it's, everybody says it, but it's true. It's going to take hard work, it's going to take talent, and it's going to take luck.
Right.
So
Right. Be at the right place at the right time with the right skill set. Yeah, there's definitely some luck in all of this. In the earlier conversation, we were talking about agencies and how things have changed over time in the agency world and what agencies are doing. And creative agencies are saying they do advertising or branding and, you know, vice versa. And everybody wants to be everything. And you had some opinions about what's going on in the agencies and how things are changing, and give us a little more perspective on what you think is going on, how things have changed, and where things might be going in your mind. I mean, your work in Friends is a little bit of a preview of that, but give us a little more.
Well, it's and you know, if I was a client and you're looking for an agency, I'd be a little confused because you go to websites, everybody says they can do everything, and there's a lot of talk out there, and you'll see design firms, you come in there, they'll say, oh, yeah, we do advertising. You go, advertising, and say, yeah, we do design. Oh, yeah, we do, you know, anything you want. And every agency is a content agency now.
Right, right.
So, I'm happy our agency is 25 years old, but I'm really liking more that it's called work because I think it really does come down to the work.
Right.
With all the fluff, with everything you have to say, you cannot hide, you know, behind the work. You got to be up there and just show it, and that's it. And either people like it or they don't. And they go, oh, I want stuff that's of that caliber.
Right.
And then I think for a client, I think you got to look at how consistent are they to doing that. You know, are they a one-campaign company?
Right.
Or do they do it, you know, time after time after time? What we pride ourselves in, and I think we do a little bit differently, and I call it being a full branding agency, and I think other people use that term, but I'm not sure if they really even understand it or do it. But this is what I like. We don't make – there's a lot of companies that they make their money off of media dollars.
Right.
We don't do that. We have media partners, and that will be passed through or we'll put you with them. But when we're working on something, we immerse ourselves in the client's business. They'll tell us some things that they want, but we also look at it as if we were the CEO, what would we do? And we'll look at their brand as communication, which is traditional marketing type
right.
of things. How do you communicate it?
Right.
We'll look at it as product. Hey, should they consider any product evolution or do some things? Should they do product as environment? Maybe their workspace, or maybe it is a product as a retail space. Product as shareable moments. What are the things that people are going to, you know, whether it's at the checkout counter, they go, man, I was in the store today, and I can't believe what I found in my bag when I got home from this place. It was amazing.
Right.
Product as the whole experience. What is it like when somebody walks through or engages with your product? Product as education. Is part of the job of the brand to educate you?
Right.
Is it to take you to a website and tell you more? How do you engage
Right,
with the customer? And, you know, is it brand as entertainment? So we have a long list of things, and what it does, when we spend some time thinking about those as individual focuses, it makes you come up with a lot more thinking.
Right.
And that's exciting, and you become a much more valuable, I think, to a client than just being an ad agency or design firm.
Right. You're more of a partner that is helping them think through these issues rather than just a somebody's doing a tactic and just delivering on a tactic for them. Right.
And it also – it gets you disciplined in thinking and executing and doing work like this, where when you go to firms, if they only practice communications, it's very hard for them to start thinking differently than when somebody goes, hey, we got a new product and you all want to think about what we could do. You know, it's kind of like there's a learning curve that
sure.
you have to go through.
So I think a good point, a good takeaway from what you just said, all of it's good, but to kind of reiterate a point, is the consistency of good work. So part of the advice to somebody getting into this is pick what level of work you want to do. What is the caliber of the work and what is the style of the work and so on? And then be consistent with that and consistently deliver that caliber of work, that quality of work, that style of work. And that's how you acquire new customers and new clients, by your consistency of continually demonstrating that you're capable of doing this kind of work at this level with this style. And that is going to go a long way towards landing the clients and landing the right clients for you.
It made me think. Somebody told me once, it's back to our previous thing that I was talking about, how much bad work some agencies can do. Are they consistently doing bad work?
Right.
They said if you look at all these companies and you looked at – it's almost like looking at the ocean and you see all these icebergs out there. The tops are the amount of good work they're doing. You don't see all the bad work until you look under the water. And so what does your iceberg look like as an agency? What percentage is bad that's okay. under the water? And usually the iceberg has a lot more bad underneath.
Right.
So I think that's something to consider. You know, something you said, I'm not sure, and maybe it's the word. I think style, to me, should vary a great deal.
Okay.
I think some – because if you have the same style, and a lot of companies do that, it's almost like a formula.
Okay.
And they'll go, oh, we specialize in hospitality. And you go to their website and you go, it's almost like they just got a rubber stamp and the logo goes here and the logo goes
right,
there and
right.
something happens here. And – they're not really working as hard to make it unique. And some of my client might go, that's what I want, and that's great. To me, I think what should be consistent is your point of view.
Okay.
And that the goal is that you're trying to get the style of that client and that personality. And
right.
to me, that style is what should that client style be? And then it should still be a quick, engaging piece of
right, right.
piece of work.
So that's an excellent observation that there is a how do I want to say this? There's a variation in your output that is tailored to the client, tailored to the client's audience, tailored to the client's strategy, and so on. So you are modifying your kind of trends in what you do. There may be kind of a baseline trend of quality and work and style. But it's always going to be modified by what's important for the client and that audience. So you're always going to be doing this process that we talked about earlier on about figuring that out and the strategy and so on, the creative. And you're going to have intentional variation when somebody looks at your portfolio. And that's actually, I think, kind of the interesting thing is where was that intentional variation, picking up on the intentional variation?
I think that's what it is. I think about just when you were talking, I was thinking this agency, probably it's the top agency, the top three, is Wieden and Kennedy out in Portland. They do Nike and been doing consistently good work for years. And most people when they get out of school, that's one of the ones they
sure.
go to. And I would say their style, if I had to say, what's their style? I would say it's disruptive. So, and that's what I'd like somebody to say about
right.
our work. But I think that's the goal, and disruptive can still be clean.
Sure.
How does it stop you to invite you to pay some attention to it and communicate what you want it to?
Right.
And but you know, it has an attitude.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay.
But it's different for each client.
It's different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tailored to each client and the needs of that engagement. Well, this is great. Cabell, is there any others? We got to wrap this thing up. Is there any other points of advice that we can go over quickly for the students?
One thing I really did on the first day of class, and I thought was important, that so often when you get into you know, teaching students, they're trying to be somebody else. And I think I talked to this earlier about, you know, you got to be your own judge. Well, one thing that I do, I would hand out a sheet of paper, and I want them to take a pulse on themselves. And very rarely do we take a pulse on ourselves.
Right.
And I stole this from Dr. Phil.
Right.
So it has to be pretty good.
Okay.
So there's three questions. And the first one is, write down 10 decisive moments in your life. Those are things like, oh, I was in a car accident.
Something happened.
Or one of my parents died.
Right.
Or we moved when I was 5 years old. Those are the 10 most decisive moments in your life. Then write down the 7 critical choices you've made in your life. A lot of people go, I can't think of 7 critical. You've made 7 critical choices each morning. You know, am I going to brush my teeth or not? You know,
right.
But
the school you choose to go to and so on.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, do I marry this person? Did I break up? So those are 7 critical choices. And then 5 people that have influenced you the most. It was amazing to me what I got back. And this was all confidential, didn't divulge names or anything. If they didn't want to write something, they could go,
right,
this is too personal. But they opened up quite a bit. And you could tell these kids had really lived some lives. I mean, that was, you know, I remember one that said he was somebody that had been homeless, somebody that had an addiction, but you heard really things they've overcome.
Right.
And then you heard decisions that were, you know, boy, that is. But what I got out of it, I thought they were going to get a lot out of it. And they would go, oh, I'm unique. Nobody else followed my path.
Exactly.
What I got out of it, I got to know those students better from just reading and having that insight than if I had had them for 10 years.
Right.
But what my point was for them is to realize that there isn't anybody like them. And what they're going to do, they're going to learn certain things. But they have to put themselves in there. Nobody's going to have their own sense of humor or their wit or their when you start associating and problem solving.
Right.
From their point of view, they're going to have a different point of view.
Right.
Than anybody else. And I think that's an exciting thing to go through your whole career, is continue to evolve and continue. You'll have your fingerprint in there somehow.
Right.
But don't forget that you're the one steering the ship.
And it's okay to be unique. That's part of this.
It's wonderful.
It's okay to be unique. It's okay to be a person with a perspective that is different from other people's perspectives.
Well, back to work and friends, it's all about collaborations.
Right.
And I think the work just gets better and more interesting with the more people that you bring in as a little round table to talk about it and go, man, what would your take be on it? I think you have to have somebody who is in charge of that.
Sure.
Or it can be a cluster.
Right.
But it's wonderful where you go, I want somebody else's point of view than just mine.
Yeah. 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 Well, this is great. Well, thank you, Cabell. This has been fantastic. A lot of great insight. I really appreciate your time. But unfortunately, it's time for me to wrap this thing up. You've been listening to the Agency Work Podcast. My guest today has been Cabell Harris from Work Labs. We've been talking about his perspective on advertising, creative problem solving, being unique and having a unique perspective, and other advice for students. And to learn more about Cabell's work, go online to his website at worklabs.com. Thank you, Cabell. And to our audience, thank you for listening. I will be back next week with a new guest, and I hope you will tune into that episode. This podcast was recorded at Red Amp Audio in Richmond, Virginia. This is Agency Work, signing off.